The title of my message today is Standing at the Crossroad. So this is reminiscent of the people of Israel who are 40 years they had wandered in the desert, right? And so they're about to start. They're in the 41st year, and Joshua is going to lead them into the promised land. But anybody who stands at a crossroads of life, you know, you always have three choices. Do I go back? Yeah. You know, I can't do this. I'm just going back to what I knew. Or I'm going to camp right here. And we're going to stay right here in the transition point. But then there's a third choice, which is to step in into the promised land. To step in into the promised land. So I think that there's many people here who have that choice before you. Even though this word for today is very specific to Shiloh, I believe that God wants to speak to everyone here, because some of you have been taking steps back. Some of you have chosen to camp. But some of you, you're seeing with faith, like Joshua and Caleb, the promised land, and you move on ahead with what God has for you. And it's okay. This is not just about when we're talking about the vision of the house, but, you know, in the many areas of life. So the 41st year represents conquest, which is completed 4 years. While 40 is the number of testing or judgment, 41 is the year of stepping into a new or special grace. New or special grace. There's always been an element of conquest in the past 40 years here at Shiloh. I mean, it's not like it just started. You know, we've been conquering things like from day one, even before that. But there's something very prophetic and special about this year. Jesus started his ministry on the 31st day after he started his 40-day fast. So one day after he started fasting, he started his ministry. He went forward to the river, met with John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit came on him in the form of a dove. Amen. On the 41st day after the flood started, or one day after it ceased, it says that a window was opened. A window was opened. Amen. Because there had been rain, so we can't open the window. But now the rain has ceased. There's a window opening. So everybody, there's a window opening. Some of you are looking at a window or a door, and you're waiting for it to open. On the 31st day, Moses brought down the tablets of the law. And it says that his face was radiant after being with God. Of course, it is the year that Joshua and Israel began their conquest of the promised land under the grace of God. And the power of God. This is not a man-made thing. You can't conjure it up. You can't say, I'm just going to will it, make it happen. God is in it. And I really believe that God is about to, you know, do some amazing things. There's a sense of excitement. There's a sense of faith. There's a sense of expectation of what God's about to do here at Shiloh in Sierra Vista. And really, he's doing it all over America and the world. Come on, we need to get in on it. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 is our base scripture. And check this out. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you're the one who will lead his people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written on it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word for us, Shiloh. Come on. So after 40 years wandering the desert, Joshua, his officers, millions of people that are following, they're camping just east of the Jordan River, not too far from Jericho. They're within striking distance. They're standing at a crossroad of life. We have read this story. God is about to do a miracle in their midst. The walls of Jericho are going to come down miraculously after marching for 7 days. The only problem is that they hadn't read the book yet. We read it. We know how the story unfolds. They hadn't. They got to faith it. Amen? So you too, you're standing at a crossroad of life, and we have to take courage from this scripture because they faithed it, and when they felt God was in on it, they jumped into it. You know, they jumped into the river, they put their feet in the river, the leaders, and it says the waters parted. And they said, oh wait a second, God is with us. Let's do this. So they had defeated some kings, they're feeling pretty good about their prospects. You know, and I'm talking about before they even get to this point. They had already defeated some people, right? East of the Jordan. But now we're talking about 31 cities. Many of them have castle walls. They're formidable fortresses. So the second year after leaving Egypt, there were some revolts among the people who were not ready to follow Moses into the promised land. The adults in this generation were afraid of what they saw in the land of Canaan and were afraid. Remember, they send the 12 spies. They're like, ooh, there's giants. We're not going to be able to overcome them. So this paralyzing effect caused for God to say, that's it. This generation will not enter into the promised land, except for Joshua and Caleb, because they have a different spirit. Except for Joshua and Caleb, because they have a different spirit. Where fear saw giants in the promised land, faith calls for acceleration and a sense of adventure as they saw the prospect of reaching that which God had already ordained for them. So God decreed that everyone 20 years of age or older would die in the wilderness during this 40-year period. Why? They represented a people full of hang-ups, inferiority complexes, traumas, fear, a slave mentality that did not allow them to have a conqueror's mentality or conqueror's heart. The new generation was too young to feel like a slave. They would then be able to move forward with a conquering spirit and a sense of adventure and a sense of anticipation in seeing what God was about to do. But listen, it would be our mistake to think that what God was about to do in the 41st year here has to do with age. It has nothing to do with age. Age could be a factor, but it really is not the major factor. Certainly we said that Caleb got there at the age of 80, right? He was from the tribe of Judah after defeating the 31 kings. Joshua apportioned the land, but there were still inhabitants in the hills of the land of Judah and certain villages that needed to be kicked out, driven out, and defeated. And Caleb then said to Joshua, hey, I want that mountain. Give me that mountain. I still have a lot of vigor in me. Just let me take it. I want to go in there with my people. We're going to take it. And that's going to be our piece of land. Amen? So when we go into the promised land, it doesn't mean there won't be battles. It just means that if you obey God, every single battle has already been ordained to be yours. Hallelujah. Anyway. I propose to you that it's not about age. Though, once again, age is a factor, but it's about a heart condition. We cannot see entering to the promised land in spiritual terms as if there were millions of people, and some of them need to die off. No, you must think it as a one person. Remember, it says your name is Israel. Treat all the body as one person. And that means that there's parts in this person that need to die. There's something inside of each of us as people that need to die if we're going to go into the promised land. Some things that we need to leave behind. Are you getting this? Jesus said in Matthew 9:17, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. Just so you know, new wine tends to expand in the fermentation process. An old wineskin cannot hold a new. It'll crack and it'll burst. And Jesus was saying this in comparing the Pharisees, who were the old wineskin, and the disciples, the new wineskin. Because the Pharisees were complaining the disciples were not fasting. And check this out. He was saying, look guys, you guys are the old wineskin because you're not born again. The Spirit of God is not in you. He said, and you're not looking for me. You're saying you're fasting to get closer to God, but I'm standing right here in front of you, and you can't see me. The disciples, they don't need to fast because they know that God is right in front of them. He's as close as he could ever be. Are you getting this? So they were missing the new grace, the new provision, you know, for the time. You need to have a new wineskin, a heart that is ready to expand the anointing of God and move forward. You will not move forward until you allow that part of you to die. As we stand just in front of the of Jericho across the Jordan, we hear the trickling and rushing of the river running past us. And across the way, we see the promised land. But we also see a city that needs to be conquered. In the same way it is for you and I today. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You got to get your new wineskin because God is doing a new thing. You need new running shoes. The old running shoes, they kind of worn out. I know you have an emotional attachment to them, but you need to get rid of those old running shoes, okay? They got holes in them. They stink. I don't care if they're Nike, you know, Air or whatever. If you're not seeing it, you may not be born again. Or you may be looking for God in a place that he's no longer moving in. He moved on from that. The prophet Samuel, listen, after King Saul, the one he anointed, the first king of Israel, who had been faithful for so much time, but all of a sudden, he crumbles, he fails, and he is rejected by God miserably. So it says that Samuel was pining, he was grieving over Saul, he was crying. Maybe he was asking, God, would you restore Saul? Give him another chance. Please bring it back, those old good old days. Bring him back, those good old days. Let them happen again. And God says, stop, Samuel. Stop. Stop mourning for Saul. This is in 16 verse 1 for Samuel. Go to Bethlehem where you will anoint the son of Jesse. And this is a prophetic moment. It is a foreshadow that when God is done with something, we have to let it go. You will no longer worship me by following the law, but you will approach me by grace. Right? Saul represents the law and has shortcomings, but then the grace comes. The grace of Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Because of what Jesus has done for you at the cross, which we celebrated last week. We need to be where God is and utilize the strategies that God has given us without modifying the gospel. We're not changing the gospel. The gospel is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, you know, today and forever. That's what Hebrews 13:8 says. But we do need to realize that our audience is a secular world. And this isn't the old America where everybody, you know, is like Bible Belt everywhere. Everybody's a Christian. You know, you just need to fine-tune some things. No. We're in a secular America. People, they have heard the name of Jesus, but mainly as a cuss word in movies. Come on. But the gospel is the same. The power is the same. But we got to change the packaging. We have to update some things. If I were to say, I'll see you here at 9 next Sunday for Sunday school. Many of you remember what Sunday school was. And if you remember, that means you're not a millennial. You're old. Like me, I went to Sunday school, right? That's okay. You don't print out invitations, people. You got to do Instagram, right, Jerry? You got to do hashtags. You got to get with the program. They use terms like, man, that's what, fleek? Is that the term now? That's on fleek. I never heard that till last week. What is that? I am old. I'm officially old, Pastor. I used to be a youth pastor. I don't know. When did that happen? I lost it. Just so you guys know, Superman is not the man anymore. Superman is not the man. Everybody knows it's Iron Man and Captain America. Or lately now it's Captain Marvel. Or, you know, that's where it's at. You got to move on. See, the heroes are not superheroes. They're not like perfect people. No, they're flawed. The new heroes, they have all kinds of powers, but they're flawed. You know, they're like you and I. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. You know, he spoke often about fishing, you know, and about farming. Why? Because that's what people could relate to. He packaged it in a way, hey, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like, you know, a farmer goes out to sea, you know, to throw some seeds on the ground. Oh, yeah, all right, I get that. All right, I understand that. You know, so I got to talk about Iron Man today so people understand me, you know. And please, you know, no spoilers, please. There's been a lot of griefs over social media because some people posted, you know, and I'm not talking about you, Gabe. I'm talking about somebody like a running back for the NFL posted, like, don't go to social media if you don't want to know how the movie ends, because people have been posting it. And there's like hot people are happy and hot people are crazy angry, you know. So if you haven't seen it, don't go to social media, all right? But one thing is true. Look at this. Millennials are looking for the supernatural. They're drawn by the supernatural. They want to know there's something else deep down inside them. Why? Because the Bible says that eternity is written into the hearts of men and women. Hallelujah. Every single movie that is making waves has a supernatural component to it. So here I am looking for the Joshua generation. I'm standing at the crossroad, and those who have a conquering spirit will go first. Kind of like the warriors from even Reuben and Gad and Manasseh. It says, we already have our home here on this side of the river, but you know what? We're going to go across, and we're going to fight with you. There's some people that are ready to go across. It says, I don't know if I'll live there, you know, Joshua, with you guys, but, you know, I'm still going to go across and fight. And some of you will be here for a little while, and you're going to go on to other things in your life. You know, the army's going to move you, or different circumstances. Maybe God has a ministry somewhere else. But God is saying, it's time to prepare. Okay? He says, you prepare the altar, and I will supply the fire. We cannot preach a small, inconsequential, powerless God. Our God is the God of the impossible. He's the creator of the universe. He's the all-knowing. He can bring life of what seemed dead. He can take your mess and make it a message. He can take your test and make it a testimony. Our God is able. He's the way maker. He's the promise keeper, miracle worker. Hallelujah. The question is not, can he do it? The question, are you ready to cross with him? Are you ready to cross? God is doing a new thing. Hallelujah. So there are three things that God wants you to do today as we prepare. And I'm very close, guys, because I know we got to get out of here. Number one, the crossroad is a place to give thanks. And we have done that today. It's a place where we need to just stand and say, you know what? We need to take a minute and see what God has done in our lives. You know, Ebenezer, you know. The Lord has been with us up to this point. Hallelujah. Today is a day to remember his faith, fullness, his faithfulness. The ministry was built on faith. We talked about it. Hallelujah. He is the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. He's my God, and that is who he is. Hallelujah. Point number two, the crossroad is a place of preparation. Hallelujah. God has called us into a season of training, of sharpening our swords, burning some of the baby fat. Come on. Hallelujah. Because we're about to run. God gave me these verses for this year. Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. We just read 1 through 9. We're going to jump to chapter 10, verse 11. It says, Joshua then said, officers, listen. And let's go to verse 11. Go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. Hallelujah. 3 days. So by the way, we've put that verse out in front. How many of us saw like a really nice canvas the star painted for us? You know, these verses are out there for us to remind us it is a season of preparation. It's a season of training. Because we're going to cross. Hallelujah. You being built up. Hallelujah. Spiritual house. And you're going to reach so many people in this city. You're going to wonder. You're going to just going to go to your knees and worship God. God is going to do something amazing. Hallelujah. Real or not, here we come. We have to get ready. The leaders of the church are putting their feet in the water for you and saying, are you seeing this, guys? Are you seeing this? The water just parted. It's happening. It's happening. Because I'm sure they're for you, like, I don't know. Oh, wait a second. It is parting. There's a new grace, new miracles, new conquests, new opportunities to see God like before. It was written before the foundation of the world that we would walk into this. Enter into your promised land, Shiloh, where thousands will be saved, healed, and restored. Where a city can be impacted with a gospel turned upside down and right side up. Can you see it? Can you taste it? Get up, put on your armor, suit up,
Stand shoulder to shoulder. We're going together. There's going to be some fights, but the victory is ordained. Hallelujah. Come on. This is a good place to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And last point, the point number three, the crossroad is a place of action. You need to be activated. You can't just say, well, we're prepared. You actually have to put your feet in the water. You have to pick up your gear and go across. Amen. There's work to do. Hallelujah. In Ezekiel, it says there were four faces, you know, on this particular creature. It says there was a face of a man, a face of an eagle, the face of an ox, and there was one more face. Human, what's the other one? Eagle, ox, human, and a lion. Thank you. But the ox represents the worker. Ministry is a worker. That's why it says the ox is worthy of his wages, you know, the oxen. There's work to be done in the ministry. Hallelujah. Remember we talked about in the Old Testament, they had to carry, you know, every single piece of gear of the old tabernacle, and we counted. It was tons of material. We weighed all the gold and silver and bronze and the, you know, the fabrics, everything they carried. It was tons of materials. And all the Levites of the three clans would pick that up all the time. Whenever the cloud moved, they said, we got to carry it. It was a heavy burden, but you know what? It's worth it. We got to be where God is at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God speaks a blessing over you, it moves the resources in heaven and activates your potential. Did you know that blessing activates potential? Hallelujah. So as I was preparing, and we're going to close, meditating and praying for you, I felt the Lord wanted me to bless you with the words of Psalm 144. I'm going to read verses 1 through 2 and 12 through 15, and I want everyone to stand as I bless you. This is by you, and we're going to close as well. By your faith, you know, you will receive. Hallelujah. Or according to your faith, better said. If you can, would you just extend your hands out like this to receive? And you're going to notice the first two verses are about war. There's war in this verse, but then it switches. In this chapter, it says, praise the Lord who is my rock. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle. He's my loving ally and my fortress, my tower of safety, my rescuer. He is my shield, and I take refuge in him. He makes the nations submit to me. Hallelujah. And then check this out. May your sons flourish in their youth like well-nurtured plants. May your daughters be like graceful pillars. May our daughters be like graceful pillars carved to beautify a palace. May our barns be filled with crops of every kind. May the flocks in our fields multiply by the thousands, even tens of thousands. Hallelujah. And may our oxen be loaded down with produce. May there be no enemy breaking down through our walls, no going into captivity, no cries of alarm in our town squares. Yes, joyful are those who live like this. Joyful indeed are those whose God is the Lord. Come on, let's give a clap offering to Jesus.